Hello, welcome to The Dot Matrix, episode 12, and this is Sean.
And Justin.
And it's good we can start now, since Justin's had a chance to put away his BlackBerry.
And, it's still on, it just,
oh,
I was debating whether to put it on the table, and then when it vibrates, it's going to make a whole bunch of noise. Not that anyone really calls me on this thing, but I just don't want it in my pocket, because there's already too much junk in the trunk, you know?
Can you fit that in your pocket?
Barely.
I know those are nice pants you're wearing, but...
Well, thank you.
I wasn't sure about the pockets that would be able to fit that.
Okay, I'm putting it in my bag. It's
away. Yeah, I put my little tiny old-fashioned cell phone in my pocket just in case. Because I think last episode it buzzed. And when
right.
I was listening back, we were quality controlling. And I was like, bzz, bzz, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you can hear everything on this built-in microphone.
It's not
that
bad.
Birds, like,
do
I don't
it.
Know if you heard after we were done.
I didn't realize until you told me that.
Yeah, I was like, wow, do you hear all the birds in there? So that's cool. So we left the door open as well, just in case Dexter Dog, he hears us and he kind of wonders where we are. We haven't gone too far, so.
Right.
That way he can let us know when he's there.
So how have you been? It's been 3 weeks since our last podcast, at least recording-wise. And probably once it gets posted, it'll be probably 3 weeks since the last posting.
Yeah, we try to do it every two, but looks like we've been... Sometimes things happen
but
we
purposefully
wanna...
did it, like, 3 weeks.
That's right.
We purposely because we got busy and we said we didn't have time, but I mean, it's not as if we were, you know, forgotten about everyone, our adoring public out there.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, so it's good to, you know, take a breather when necessary and then get back to it. And here we are, on a Wednesday. And
today I have not eaten a thing all day. Yes, I can't wait to eat after this.
Right on. Either can we. we'll make this one snappy and to the point.
To the point.
Then we gotta head to dinner, which I'll just give a little plug for Styx on the drive. Commercial drive here. Wicked food. So it's newer and it's only been out for a few months or something. So if you're into what would you call it?
It's like, kind of Asian, but it's kind of fusion, some of it, but not really. You know, it's like, it's just kind of nice. It's the in-between,
like Vietnamese to something.
Yeah.
Like real Vietnamese.
And it's
like.
In-between where you go to, Manchu Walk in a mall, which is not bad. Every so often I feel like that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
To a sit-down Asian meal, right? It's sort of that in-between, which I think is perfect.
Yeah, good. No, I think a lot of people are really digging it, and it's a fresh change from everything else.
So we should... Do they have a website?
They do. It's eatatstix.com.
So we'll put that on our site, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's fun to actually just promote, like, different food things, actually, since... Elaine and I are foodies, if we want to use that term. We really enjoy going out to eat. I think you do, too.
I love to eat, yes. I can't say I can pick things out or a palate-wise or something, but I do like to eat.
Well, I was thinking, too, like, what does Justin think about eating? Eating and renovations. Which you can tell us about a little later.
Well, it's funny you should mention eating, because I know you always comment about how... fast I eat. And now that I am living with a roommate for the first time in a number of years, my sister has moved back into where the house that I live in. I have the upper floor, she has the bottom floor.
Yes.
And it's been about, 4 days now, and we haven't killed each other, which is good.
That's
no,
good.
We get along very well, and I think the setup is actually going to be very... very good, and now that she's sort of moved in, I'm sort of, when I sort of get the place set up in the basement, I'm like, you know, if I didn't have a good setup upstairs, I actually would be really pleased to live in the basement. It's actually pretty nice, you know?
Yeah, good. I can't believe I haven't been over. I gotta come see it.
I know, you do. You're one of the only people who haven't.
I know.
Well, Tara hasn't seen it either, but Mike has. He came, I was almost in tears, because he came by like Thursday afternoon, and it was like right before Friday was the next day was when Vanessa was going to move back, and he came by, and you know, and Mike, for everyone who doesn't know Mike, I don't know why you wouldn't know Mike.
Since we mentioned
he is you know One of our really good friends, one of our great friends, and he's heavy into the contractor or construction business, so he knows his shit.
He knows his shit, yes.
And so I always like to get his approval on these kinds of things.
Absolutely.
And I always like to feel like a true man when I'm talking to Mike, because I feel if I know my shit, then I'm a man too, you know?
Well, that's funny, because I actually called him for something very much simpler, which was getting these Venetian blinds off our walls.
Right.
Which he, you know, responded, and I had figured it out by the time I got my message, but took a while, and I almost yanked them off. I was like, what's the trick here, you know? Because they weren't like the other ones, which are easy to take down. There was like a different apparatus or whatever, but anyway, so it's
right.
Going well.
Yeah, and well, he came by, and it was all done. He kind of wanted to see it before Vanessa moved back, so that way, you know, he could see it, right?
Yeah,
in,
yeah.
In its purest form. And he knows as well as I do about the struggles it was to get someone to come in, and you know, we had tradespeople from his referrals to come and do certain things, and that didn't work out, and then I was getting really worried that, you know, in the end my sister would move back and maybe you'd have it arranged, like we would have the, like, we had a really bad shitty bathroom, like it was awful, and and we needed to redo it so that way, you know, someone could actually live in the basement,
right?
And so that was the big challenge. And so and I thought, well, okay, maybe we won't get it done, and we'll have to share a bathroom, my sister and I, for a month or so when she moves back, but then, you know, eventually it will get done, we'll finally have someone in place.
Yeah.
But, and it was a struggle. We finally, and just fortuitously, I made the right call, the right email, and got the right referral, and we got a contractor. He and his assistant came in, did it in 3 weeks, you know, but basically... in total, maybe 5 or 6 days, but within a 3 week span. And once I checked his references and said, yes, let's go, he was there the next day.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was so perfect, and it got done, and it's done complete, you know, probably a week or so before she moved back. So I got to paint and everything. And so Mike was standing there looking at the job, and he said the simplest thing. He probably doesn't even know that I was so choked about it. But he says, you did it, Justin. You said you would, and you did it. And I was like, I was so choked up. I mean, he commented on some certain things, and I guess about whatever, but I wasn't really hearing, like, the
right.
nitty-gritties about the sink or about the tiling or whatever. But just the fact that, like, he said, you did it. And I'm like...
It's a good feeling.
It is, because you make a commitment, you try to get something done, and in the end, as much of a struggle as it was... it got done, you know?
Right on.
And
right on.
And it just made me feel so proud, and I don't know, when Mike said that, I was almost in tears, so anyways.
Well, that's great. I think it's good, too, when you end up doing things that are obviously other people's expertise, yet they affect everyone, like, especially every homeowner, like, that kind of thing. And
right.
So you have to go through it, you know, and you have to, you know, you've done many renovations, actually, over the past few years, and since you've been living in that place, and a lot of them turn out really great, you know, like the kitchen looks great, living room looks great, and it's really funny when you think about, too, how dwellings were, like, before, like, decades
right.
ago, and the extra walls, and the,
yes.
you know, everything was a little more compartmentalized, maybe, and
right.
now everything's so open, and
yep.
I think even, like, our place here... sometimes I think about when we, you know, we go to open houses because we're always kind of keep an eye out for whatever's out there. And Tara loves open houses.
Yes, she does.
And so whenever she's out and about with us, we try to take something because there's always something open house around here. And so we look at prices and we look how things are built. And Mike came with us last time to check that out, which is cool. So because he knows something's built right or... something's been kind of shady, you know,
right.
you know, because they're built so fast, you wonder, right? And so you think, man, you can't believe how style and process kind of evolved, how open things are and how much they make most of the space.
Right.
So when I think of how we are here, I like how it's kind of, you know, there's a little hallways, there's rooms.
Yep.
Got the main living area, the kitchen and... living area is kind of the same place, but it's kind of got the open out there, but I like how it's kind of all kind of
yeah.
their own little spots
yeah.
here.
Yeah. When you, the whole swing towards that open concept, kind of, you kind of lost a little bit of privacy, you know? And
yeah, like
and
it went too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think now sort of gravitating towards the middle, But one last comment about this is actually, a fact you may or may not know, is that my grandfather on my, so my dad's dad, was an architect in China, or Hong Kong, and what he was known for was maximizing space. And when you talked about, you know, where the hallways were and where rooms are, and so he was apparently very well known in his world about sort of being an architect who could maximize space. So maybe when you think about Hong Kong and China and how many people there are in such a small space, so he was actually really good about eliminating hallways. Like, you know, like, you could get rid of a hallway so you could have an extra room or whatever. And so I don't know how he did it, but that's what apparently what he was known for.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
A little fact.
Huh.
So I wrote down a name of this podcast as we were talking.
Oh.
The last one was like how we loved Bill Moyers. I think we should call this one We Love Mike.
Okay.
Because
we're
kind of gushing over a particular person, so we might as well just frame it that way.
Fellow male friend of ours.
Absolutely.
That's how we roll.
So we've got topics, a few topics, and
which one do you want to do?
You know, I only had two things on my list, and they're kind of dated now because it's been a few weeks. But the one is common, which is on your list, so we can talk about that one first, or we can talk about the other thing, which is my concert I went to.
Oh, well, we have to talk about that. And then after that, I'll plug a couple of things that...
Cool,
that
and then we'll get to...
Related.
Okay.
Sure, okay,
so maybe
well, you start.
Well, as Sean knows, and people who are close to me know, I do have a weakness for...
Fetish. Oh my goodness, look at the levels. Okay, I'm going to have to fix that.
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead, please.
Well, see, I won't deny that comment because it is almost kind of true. But for Sporty Spice, as some people know her, but the people who really know her call her
right.
Melanie C.
Because you really know her.
Of course I do.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh but so, of course, she, you know, has finished her Spice Girls tour and was doing her solo act across Canada, like 7 or 8 cities. And it's funny, I went online and after I went to the show, I read online some reviews of her shows in Edmonton and Calgary. And they were both raving reviews. They were
yes,
really
they
liked
were.
It.
I read a couple of messages.
And but of course they commented about the smallness of the crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't get it because I mean if you've got the Spice Girls who are filling stadiums and this is 1/5 of the Spice Girls, shouldn't at least 1/5 of your audience be interested in seeing you? Like
And
1/5 is still gonna fill a club like the Plaza Club in Vancouver.
Oh,
but
totally.
It didn't. And but, you know, I went last day before I got tickets because finally two of our friends decided that they would go.
Excellent.
So I thought for the last one, do I want to do it? Do I not? And I said, no, fuck it, let's go. So I said yes, and we went.
Nice.
And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stories about, like, me getting the tickets because I had to go and purchase it in person instead of online because it was the day before, and so I couldn't be anonymous, and I had to actually ask for Mel C tickets. Well, we won't get into that story because we don't have a lot of time, and we won't get into the story about...
Well, that was the story.
That kind of... Well, there was a guy standing next to me who was really invading my personal space, and when I went up to get the ticket, so I'm actually now telling the story. So we went up to the woman to ask for the ticket. The guy was, like, standing right next to me as if we were getting the same, like, he was with me for some reason, so I couldn't really just be discreet. I had to, you know, like,
he was
hovering over me. I didn't wait to see what ticket he bought. And the woman at the Ticketmaster booth was very professional. She didn't make a face. She didn't go,
oh, yeah,
what?
She doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly. So I asked for 3 Mel C tickets, and she knew exactly what it was and got it, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so got it done. So that was the story. The personal space was the actual story. But anyways, we went to the show, and doors opened at 7. It was an early show, mainly because it's Saturday night at the Plaza, and they're smart. They know she's not going to fill the joint, so they can't lose a night of clubbing, right? So we went, and doors opened at 7. We got there about 8:10 or something, and we waited, and it wasn't that full, so I thought, well, maybe we haven't even missed the opening act yet. And so we wait, and it's a good cross section of ages and genders. It's mainly sort of women and gay men, I guess, would be the two categories.
Yeah,
and
you
and me. and at about 8:30, you know, musicians come out, people start cheering, And then they start to the musicians start to play something, and I'm like, well, I don't recognize it. So I go, oh, I guess it's the opening act. I was really hoping we would skip the opening act and get time just to see her. Because I'm, you know,
because it might be like, it might be shit.
Yes, it might be shit. And so, and then within like 10 seconds, it transitioned to a song that I did recognize. I'm like, oh, good, it's her. And then everyone started to really cheer. And then she comes out and she, for an hour, performs all of her like lots from her new album, and she got 4 albums, so she didn't do one Spice Girls song, which a lot of people, if you think, if you're known for a really big band,
yes,
you'd probably sing a lot of your stuff that you're known for from this band, but sure. She has her own material, so that was good.
And it's different.
It is different. Very catchy. I think it's catchy. It's pure pop. I mean, it's not like rocket science. It's not gonna it's not gonna win like Lifetime Achievement in Songwriting Awards, but it's catchy and it's fun. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
Well, I was thinking, sorry to interject, but I was talking about the Spice Girls with someone at work recently, because I don't think we referenced your show in particular, but it came up for some reason. I said, I think she's the only one out of the five that actually can sing decently.
Yes. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Like, the others are passable. I don't know, Halliwell maybe, Halliwell, whatever it
right.
is. But, you know, It's Raining Men, no. I like, you know, I've heard her one of her albums. I like the song with Bryan Adams. I think she's a good entertainer.
She is, and she actually does a lot of the writing. Like, I mean, not all of it, but
yeah.
And so she does have, she gets in there, right? It's not, you know, so anyways. So she sings for an hour, and there's about a 4-song encore, which was, you know, pretty neat. And what was really fascinating about it was just seeing, like, the people who were there, I mean, other than, let's say, Karen and Sean, who were there with me.
Yes.
I mean, they knew some stuff. Although Sean was more fan into it than I was. It was great. He was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. But people who were there loved it. They were singing along. They had signs that they had made up to coincide with songs and lyrics. Like,
right.
She sang a song that has a lyric about catching big fishes, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, that's the one line only once in this song. And when she sang it, these people put up gigantic cardboard cutout sign, a fish,
yeah,
and
crazy.
And they had a song, yeah, 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 and they all put out, yeah, one sign, yeah, and then sign, yeah, third sign, yeah, every time she sang it, like 100 times in that song. So, like, I could see myself just standing there, you know, kind of bumping away a little bit, just really enjoying myself, not just because of the music and her, but just because everyone was there was just unabashedly loving it, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Again, it speaks to our topic of the year so far,
pretty
which is
much.
Passion. And
yeah.
About just loving something and just letting go and releasing of that.
Yes.
You know.
In a pure sense. Yeah.
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 And like, I've been to some shows, and the last show before that was when you guys took me to, I mean, except for seeing you guys perform.
Right, right.
Was seeing Sufjan Stevens, you know.
Right.
Probably a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a great show, and I really enjoyed going, but when you know, Sufjan and his and the way that his music is sort of positioned, it's very, you know, indie rock or indie music, right?
Yeah.
And so people who are there, you know, you're kind of cool just for knowing that he exists and
hipsters.
This music, you know, and you're hip and you're cool and you got your fun graphic tee and and you're skinny jeans. Yeah, and
yeah.
You're there because you know it's the place to be. And there's nothing wrong with it, and that's great, too.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of somewhat reservedness about that whole aura in some ways, right? Because this is cool, and I know it's cool, but
so,
other things are not cool, and I'm not gonna, you know?
Yeah.
And so part of the, I guess, the expression of passion that I'm trying to get into and trying to remember is that, yeah, sometimes I do sort of judge things, like, you know, oh, well, that's not cool. And there was none of that in this one. And, you know, and it is, you know, not the coolest thing to go to, but everyone who was there loved it, and I just love that aura, that sense of just, you know, and she was really loving it. I mean, she really loves her songs and loves her material.
Into it.
And she's into her stuff. It's not as if someone's, you know, some pop-making machine is behind her, and she just has to go and perform. Like, she was really into it, and let me just finish off by saying, this woman is fit.
Yeah.
And, you almost fall in love that she's so talented and so fit and so cool, just, you know, that it's,
yeah.
and it's amazing. Like,
it's inspiring too.
It is inspiring
because she's getting up there and she's giving it, you know. And
so
many times you see bands where they might be giving it, but they're not really. It's not coming across that way.
And her persona in the interviews you've seen, like, there's some stuff on, like, The Hour with George Strophanopoulos and other interviews that you can get online.
Yeah.
And she comes off very personable, like, for someone who has such a success rate in terms of the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and she's very humble and very honest. And so the persona is good, I find. It's really endearing.
She could be, like, male B, but she's male C.
Yeah. Well, and she apparently has had... you know, eating disorder issues and image issues in the past because,
Really?
And so and it sounds like she's passed those demons and she's been able to solve that and to come up there and she's like amazing. So,
I didn't know that about her. Cause I know that Posh Spice had to have the eating disorder. I mean, come on. I mean, she was like completely unhealthy looking.
Right.
Like, I hope not, but I think that's what everyone was saying at the time, but.
Right.
Well, that's really cool,
and
I'm glad you had a good time. And you know, it's cool in the eye of the beholder, right? Like, it's cool for everyone there. And speaking of cool shows,
yes, please.
I'll just quickly plug two shows that I'm involved with directly, and one of them is the Nine Circa, which we've mentioned many times, and we're doing a beach party. June 7th at Jericho Sailing Center at Jericho Beach.
In Vancouver, Canada, of course.
In Vancouver, yes. And we're actually going to play for, I think, as long as 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, whether it's divided two sets or full one, long one.
Wow.
To be confirmed. I think we'll probably do a couple sets.
I'll probably take at least one bathroom break in me.
Yeah.
If you run for 2 hours straight. Just so you know. I will be there, of course.
Awesome. It's also my birthday, which...
Woohoo!
I keep mentioning that. I don't know why. I get really excited when it's my birthday. Not like others. People's birthdays come up and they're kind of like, it's my birthday. Big deal. I really like my birthdays because Elaine always plans something really exciting for me. And the night before, she's taking me out for my on the town with dinner and stuff. So I'm...
Nice.
It's all a surprise. And I'm actually going to wear a blindfold.
Aww.
So I don't know where I'm going. Because we thought that just today. Because I have one of those masks for sleeping, so it's dark.
And for other things.
I know there was no mentioning it without you commenting. I knew you were going to do that.
I'm not if not... consistent.
That's a good word. But we're really excited because it's something that's been in the planning stages for quite a while, and we really
the show.
Yeah,
okay.
The show. Back to the show at the beach. We're gonna make it as fun as possible and get as many people as possible, and really make it a big thing. And
so, have you seen the venue? Like, is it? It's not. I guess it's not. On the beach, but it's at the beach, and are we by the water? Are we not by the water? What do you know about it?
I don't know much except that we are in there. It's a venue,
okay.
it's right at the Singing Center, which I think is sort of like a hangar type structure.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
really. That's what I've been told.
So it might be sort of outdoors but covered as opposed to indoor. You know what I mean?
I'm hoping there's outdoor likeness to it. I hope it's not completely
enclosed,
because then why bother going out to a beach, right?
Well, exactly.
We want it to be fun and hopefully the sense of being out on a summer night, and hopefully the weather's great. Keep your fingers crossed. So that's that one, and another band I play in, Cult Cargo, which I play synthesizer in. Band is playing a show June 20th at Jazz Festival, which is opening night. The Alibi
You
Room.
Should be very excited.
I
mean, you said that so matter-of-factly, but the cool thing is it's a Jazz Festival show.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, I've got my reservations about the Jazz Festival after, you know, being in Montreal and seeing the Montreal Festival for, like, years. You really can't go back. But, you know, that aside...
Yeah. It's cool.
It's awesome. Like,
yeah.
To see your name...
In the program,
that's awesome. That's...
Year after year, we picked up the programs, you know,
yes.
Looking through, and sometimes we see people we actually we know, like we've gone to school with, and I was like, wow, it'd be cool to, you know, play as a part of the jazz festival, and here we are.
Yes.
At first, we weren't too sure of the details, like what kind of show it was going to be, but we're playing with a bunch of other groups and downstairs of the Alibi Room, which is kind of a cool place. The Nines have played there, and it's kind of got that dark atmosphere. Like it's there's candles and it's really dark, and it's kind of like when you, I don't want to compare it to like early Velvet Underground kind of performances, but when you see footage of that, they're down there with Warhol. It's dark and they've got art everywhere, and
right.
It's kind of that kind of down in the cellar kind of feel.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's June 20th.
June 20th,
yes.
And I was gonna ask you, maybe we can head down to Gastown Jazz the next day, kind of like we used to. See if we'll talk about that later. But I just wanted to say for our casting today is that. For those who, you know, may not know a lot about jazz, it's a good way to experience jazz, different jazz types, especially the Scandinavian kind that I like, which is the kind of a little more out there, a little freer jazz, but, you know, free jazz performances at Gastown.
And I will say, as I always say, I like a little bit of melody with my music.
I know. And it's all how you hear the melody, I think. But
wow, you know how many times I've said I like a little melody with my music,
yeah.
And that's the first time you've actually said that sentence in rebuttal to that. Like it's
the first time, yeah.
And
it just came to me.
That's interesting.
I hadn't been planning that, but I think there.
Touché.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll just take that knife back.
No.
You know, we haven't gone to Gastown Jazz in quite a while.
No.
And I think it's just because I think, you know, we've done that year after year, and we thought, you know, we tried some other venues and different shows. We've seen some great shows over the years, but I think it would be kind of fun to go back if the weather is nice. And,
yeah. Well, and I know
Amanda Tossoff's playing, so.
Right, yes, and we saw her once. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say that at my work, we've just hired a summer student, actually.
Mm.
And she has a lot of background in the arts and culture with her family and with her friends, and knows a lot of bands, kind of thing.
Cool.
And she said she's quote unquote called self-professed herself to be a roadie, right? And I think one of the bands that she knows a lot of her friends are in, I believe, is playing Davidland Park.
Oh, cool.
As the festival, the closing weekend, right? So you know how it's at the Roundhouse and
yes.
Davidland Park and that sort of piece.
What do you remember? What band it was?
Oh, do we have the program right here? Okay,
yeah,
because
I met someone who the other night at a birthday party whose boyfriend was in a band playing that weekend.
Oh,
I think in that park. So I wonder if it's the same band. I
do
think
your,
mine
what
was
your name?
5 o'clock funk.
That
five
sounds
alarm,
that sounds right. Wow, it's a small world.
Or five alarm.
Five. I remember five. Yes, five alarm.
Five alarm.
That,
I wonder
it.
If it's the person you met was a girl.
Yes. Well,
okay.
Yeah, our summer student is a female, yes.
And the person that was brought to my attention is a guy. So interesting. Maybe we should check that out, too.
Yeah.
We'll see what goes on. But, yeah, another good
nice.
Thing to catch. In
well, I was trying to, because, you know, our student is so young and hip and cool and all.
Yeah.
Like, I name dropped your band, your bands a few times.
Oh.
Just so I could, although older and curmudgeon-y as I am, try to make that youthful
well,
connection, you know?
Well.
just I'm not much of a tosser.
No. No, it's good. It's, you know, the cool thing about music today is that, you know, people, it doesn't really matter anymore, or it shouldn't, and I think most people don't think it does. It doesn't matter, like, age. If you're into something, you're into something. Like, we're into, you know, Beatles and other stuff like that, but that was 40 years ago. And people even younger than us are into it. People way older than us are into it. It's like,
that's true.
And you know that goes for any style of music, you know. But I think that would be something to go check out, definitely. And
yeah,
and be cool while we're out there.
Well, we've getting close to 30, and I know you have a bunch of things on your list. We should get one thing out of the list for sure. Is our part, or was it drinks and meet and greet with Gregor Robertson? We should talk about, just because we haven't talked about it yet, have we?
I think of all the topics, let's talk about that. And what we can do is, because there'll be some further news coming up.
Yes.
That
I just
can do like a part one, maybe.
Okay, yeah, because I just wanted to get that. We can actually talk about it just briefly, and then that way we we refresh it and we can talk about it later. But some of the other stuff on your list is very timely about, like, even today or yesterday.
Okay.
So let's talk briefly about Gregor.
Okay, sure.
So why don't you set it up?
You and I went to a garden party, and we had the opportunity, which is a rare one, to talk to Gregor Robertson, who is a candidate for Vision Vancouver, which is one of the three municipal parties.
There's two municipal, well...
Or, I don't know.
No, you're
COPE
right, there's three. There's COPE, there's Vision Vancouver, and there's the Nonpartisan Association, which, by definition, I object to the name.
I know, it's just bullshit.
I don't get it, like, how do you do that? But anyways, and so Nonpartisan is definitely right-wing in the political spectrum.
Yeah.
Vision is more center.
Yeah.
And COPE is more left-wing, in a general sense, right? So there's
the
three of them.
But we went there by the invitation of a former colleague of yours.
Yes.
And who knows Gregor, and we had the chance to talk to him, hear him speak, and
kind
of get what he was about. And, I mean, we could go into all the things he's done. It's, I think, we'll post a link of stuff he's been involved
in,
like his Happy Planet juice and all that. But my one perspective that I'll give is that I found him refreshing, and I found that he, it's a different atmosphere we were with him in compared to a very public one, but I found him really great to talk to, and I thought he had a lot of different ideas. You find?
Well, it was really interesting because, I mean, you're right, it's kind of a rare, not necessarily, I mean, I don't know, I never tried to talk to Gregor or emailed him to try to set up a meeting in any other context, so I don't know how approachable he is, but given that he's a provincial politician for the BC legislature, although part of the opposition and not government, I mean, I'm not sure, but we don't go to these kind of things very often, and we're not, I mean, although we talk politics, we're not technically terribly politically active. I mean, there are some people we know who are, but not us. But we're interested in the process, obviously.
Very much.
And so it was a good opportunity to meet him, and because he's running, one of three people running for this nomination to run, to actually be able to run for mayor, and the vote is actually happening in a couple of weeks, actually, for that party.
Mm-hmm.
And we
will recap after that vote, for sure.
Yes, and what was really... So you're going to be in town, right?
I will actually be in town for sure, 100%.
And I am not, so...
So I'll tell you all about it.
Yes, and actually, that'd be really great, actually, to get your perspective and me not being there. So, but what I really found was interesting was the fact that... and I said it to you afterwards. I said, what I loved about it was that it was clear, and from everyone who knew him and talked about him, was that... Him running is as if you or I were running for mayor.
That's right.
You know, and that, you know, an average citizen who had done some, you know, remarkable things in his life, not that, you know, hopefully the remarkable stuff will happen, you know, and on our ends. I mean, I can't speak for you. You have a lot of remarkable stuff.
Well.
And the fact that, you know, he is someone who has that kind of perspective of life and, you know, lives in the community, like us, who talks about stuff about, oh, if only this could happen, if only that could happen, and to go beyond sitting on the fence and just talking about it, but actually diving in, and the courage it takes to make that transition from someone who just says stuff, or who complains about stuff, or who analyzes stuff, or who's a, you know, an armchair politician, to actually taking that plunge.
That's right.
And
it's inspiring.
It reminds me of a quote from the movie Dave. Remember the
movie
Dave?
Yes.
When the fake president is sitting there with the real vice president, and it's near the end of the movie, and he's talking about, so, you know, what got you into politics, asking the vice president? And he basically says that story, that he's a shoe salesman, and it was like civic elections, and he had to put, the day that it was due to put in the papers, and his wife just kept telling him, well, stop talking about it, and stop complaining about it, you should do something about it. And so he did. And he, you know, obviously the story is he ascends to the vice presidency, and eventually at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, to the presidency, right?
Right.
So, and it's that kind of stuff that I like to hear, is about not people who are born and grow up wanting to be the next prime minister. Those are the people I don't want to be prime minister. Like, I mean, yes, it's great to have a vision in your life and to have goals in your life. But if your goal is to be prime minister, that's not a, or a goal to be a politician or goal to
that's
be,
right.
you know, that's not the kind of person I want to be elected
that's right.
who runs the government that affects my life.
That's right. That's exactly it. Because it's the change that you want in the end. It's the way you want your world to be run or your community. It's like, that's what we got from him. Because he said even himself, I'm still getting used to this label politician.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, he'll only be able to use that for a short time.
Right, yeah. Then you get into it, you're in it. But,
and you're in.
But your goal should always be about good government, about,
yeah.
you know, making things better for people
the
in
common,
your constituency or your
yeah.
common, you know, the common
good.
Common good.
Yeah.
And that's your goal. That's what I want to get behind.
Yeah.
Not, I want to be prime minister. Or,
yeah.
like, you know, it's not about the flash. It's about the nitty-gritty stuff you do every day to make
yeah.
things better for your
yeah.
for your
Which,
for people you represent.
And I think, finally, there's a swing of a mood going around that those things can be exciting. Like, there can be
yeah.
new ideas for those things that we just didn't want to touch before. New opportunities, like economic or you know.
You know, you're absolutely right. I totally feel that shift. I mean, with all
yeah.
this, you know, environmental piece that is really taking a wave, and it's actually not cresting, it's or you know, whatever the term is, it's actually staying. It's not
yeah.
it's not a flight of fancy. Like, I really think it's a generational, it's change.
Yeah.
And you know, people are interested in those topics, interested in doing good, interested in what it means to be in your community, what you can do to make a difference. Those are really long standing, like, in our generation, people are really looking to that and wanting to have an impact on those things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about, like, I mean, you're going to get the percentage who are going to be, like, you know, out there. It's all about the glory, about going out there to make your speech or to, you know, whatever. But, it's not about that.
I know. Actually, in fact, I totally agree. And I think we will actually end there. Reason why I mention, because there's another thing on our list that I was thinking of bringing up, but I think there could be more to the story next time. So
Are you talking about our foreign affairs minister?
Our foreign affairs minister, yes. Our old and our new incoming, which
yes.
we'll leave that as federal, and well, it can only be federal, right? We don't have one for
there's
BC.
No, yeah.
So I'll leave that as the hint. And
the only thing I'll say about that, because
yeah.
it's just kind of funny, is like it was a huge topic. I was driving around all of yesterday at various meetings with a couple of colleagues. And they were, it was just breaking.
Yeah.
And the comment was about, you know, the girlfriend who is apparently very well endowed.
Very,
and I
yeah.
said, I apparently didn't realize it. I didn't even know.
Yeah. It's
and
all
then,
about that dress.
That dress. I had no idea.
Well, he's like, no, it looks good. Just wear the dress you wore the other night to that party. And she's like, I should have listened to my female instinct and not have worn it.
I know. I thought that was hilarious. I had no idea.
But,
so,
yeah, I think that's really funny, and we will get more into that.
Yes. So there we go, good 38-minute podcast.
Not bad.
Let's
go eat. Okay, thanks everybody. The dotmatrix.com.
Right, the dotmatrix.com.
Take care, bye.
See ya.